to support. And I just want to give you a beginning talk about this. Like, where did it come from? How did Freedom Prayer begin here? And I just want to give you a real short synopsis. First thing is this. In my life, Freedom Prayer basically began with a lot of questions. 32 years ago, when I left the business world and went into the church world and went to college and got a degree and went to graduate school and got a degree, I had to take a lot of psychology. And really, Freedom Prayer started with a lot of questions. First off, I would listen to these classes in psychology, and I just had questions. They would tell me things like, if a person is depressed, or if they have anxiety disorder, if they're ADHD, or they're this, or they're that, then that's pretty much how they're going to be forever. And I used to think, why? Because I was lost, I mean really lost, and I gave my life to God, and I changed. Now, the truth is, there were still things in me that didn't change, but I was a different person. And I'm thinking, God, if you can save people, how come people have to suffer with these emotional disorders and these emotional inadequacies? And so I just didn't really buy it. When they kept teaching me all that stuff, I'd say, yeah, whatever. I had another question that bugged me. What about the testimonies? I grew up in a denomination where when people got touched by God in a big way, they would go make the testimony circuit. You know what I mean? They would all go to all the churches, and they'd give their testimony over and over and over again, and everybody would cry, and it would be wonderful. Except for I just couldn't accept the fact that this alcoholic got set free in an instant by having an encounter with God, but the other 999 didn't. I'm like, I don't understand it, but that doesn't sound like my God. And I didn't know any different. That's just what everybody with years and years and decades of experience were trying to teach me. And so I just didn't believe that. You know, I also had this thing going on in me. There were still things inside of me that I couldn't get over. I had internal issues that wouldn't go away. No matter how much I fasted, no matter how much I prayed, no matter how much I did anything, they wouldn't go away. And I would work on them and work on them for years. Some I worked on for decades. And it wouldn't go away. And so I just had these questions. And you know, it sort of started that way. The truth is, I had a need. I had a need in my family. We had depression strike in my family. And some of you guys understand what that's like, if you've had any of that. I had things inside of me that I was serving the Lord, but these things were still there. And then, so this went on for years. Then I ran into the Vineyard Christian Fellowship movement, John Wimber and those guys, and there, you know, there's a long history of that. And boy, all of a sudden there's miracles, God's showing up, people are getting floored, as our young people call it, and there's just all kinds of stuff happening. But still, this inner stuff wasn't going away. People would come up with fear and anxiety disorders, whatever it is, all these different emotional disorders, and they'd get prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. They'd get prophesied to. They'd get laid hands on. They'd get oil poured on their heads, and they went home with the same issues they left with, even worse, because now they felt guilty. And I'm like, God, I don't know why you save everybody who comes to you, but you don't heal these things. And I just wouldn't accept it. I said, God, I don't know, but I know there's something. Well, remember I said, I actually got to the place where I sort of resented those testimonies, right? You know, y'all probably never been there where somebody stands up in front of the church and says, oh, this is so wonderful. I used to be full of fear, and now I have no more fear, and it's so wonderful. And you're sitting there so full of fear, you're about to die, and asking God to take it, and he doesn't take it, and you still have it, and why not you? So I just sort of got to the place where I didn't like even hearing those testimonies, because I'd think about all the people who couldn't, who had a good heart, you know? Guys, my goal this week for you guys, this weekend, is that every one of you get released and equipped and able to do what we call freedom prayer, which I want to tell you, it's so simple. First thing that has to happen is you're going to have the kind of mind, by I just lucked into it. I didn't accept the fact that that they knew what they were talking about when they told me all that stuff. I said, God, I don't know why, but I think there's more to this than we know. And so Guess what happened to me? Years pass. Living life. Dealing with my issues. Got issues in my family. We love Jesus with all of our heart. We still can't get over these issues. Right? Even tried the med stuff. Can't get over them. One day, I'm running a rent-to-own business and pastoring this church in its very early stages. And one day, I'm just praying, and I have this encounter with God. It lasts for days, which is very inconvenient when you're at work. I can't quit crying. I can't stop this thing. I'm just having this encounter with God. It fell from heaven, which is something I didn't believe. I didn't like that. That it randomly fell from heaven. I didn't ask for it. What I asked for, though, I didn't realize at that time was, God, I asked for my friends who are suffering all of these issues. My friends who have depression. My friends who have manic behavior. My friends who have anxiety disorders. My friends who have anger and rage and all this stuff. God, I'm praying. I want my friends free, God. I want my friends free. And so I had this encounter with God. In the midst of this encounter, and it was pretty devastating to me personally. It's a long story. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. But in the midst of this encounter, God, at the end of this, like 5 days, God comes to me, and I'm actually in my store. It's before opening hours. And God says, and I've done all this stuff with the Lord, and he comes to me, and he's got this shoebox. It's wrapped up like a gift, you know, Christmas gift or something. And he holds it out to me. He says, here. I'm like, God, I can't take that. I'd failed God, right? I had failed him. God, I can't take that. Well, the next day I'm praying. God comes again. Same box. I'm like, no. I'm going to serve you, God. I'm going to love you. I'm going to work for you my whole life, but I can't take that gift. And I can't remember how many days this happened. I think 4 days in a row. And maybe on the 5th day, God comes, and I hate to even look at him, you know, because I already know what he's going to do. He's going to have the stupid box, and I'm not going to take it. Except for on this day, in my heart, I know it's the last day. And I know it. And I'm like, I'm not taking it. So God walks off this way, I walk off that way, and I know it's over, right? Now, at the same time, I've got issues in my life that I can't get over that have nothing to do with this that I know of. All of a sudden, I can tell. You know how you can feel somebody like stopping in a room, you know? I can feel that God has stopped. And so I stop and I turn around and look at him. And he's sitting in a chair and he patted his lap. And my world came apart. My God didn't ask you to come and sit on his lap. Ever. Ever. And I was undone. I had an encounter with God in a way that was unique to me, but my life changed. I had an issue in my life. I had been fighting every single day for 8 or 9 years, every day, that 3 days later, I noticed I wasn't praying about that issue. And I went, what do you mean? I've prayed about this issue every day for 8 years, and I haven't prayed in 3 days. And I had this great thought. I said, go try it. So I went and tried it, and it didn't hurt anymore. It didn't control my behavior anymore. I felt different inside. I had this encounter with God. Guys, I tell you, you know, where does freedom prayer come from? It comes from an personal need, a willingness to think something that I didn't know. And I'm just asking the Lord to give you guys that heart. You're going to hear things today that may challenge your theology. It may challenge your experience. You may think this is impossible. But I'm telling you, you've got to have a willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you something, to reveal himself to you in ways you may not have ever known before. And I was desperate. I was desperate for me, I was desperate for my family, I was desperate for my friends who were suffering. Because I just never believed in being dishonest. You know what? You can be perfectly fine with God in 20 different areas and then have one area where you're in bondage, and that's unacceptable for me. I want to tell you, the biggest thing in the world, in the last 14 or 15 years, however long ago this was, I don't remember, every emotional disorder, every addiction, every bondage that you can name, God has healed. And almost 100%. You mean, Alan, every depressed person that's come to y'all's church and asked for help, God's healed them? Almost 100%. I can't even think of who He hasn't healed. I'm sure there may have been a couple, but I don't know. And, it's you. No, I'm not the only one who prays. As a matter of fact, you guys are going to, we're going to break up into some groups and do a little bit of that this weekend. God wants to use the body of Christ, and He wants to heal people. So I found out that I was changed. So what is freedom prayer? What is freedom prayer? I love this this passage out of 1 John chapter 1, verse, I want to read this to you. You guys know this passage. You can look it up if you want to. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him, and now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us, and we proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the message we heard from Jesus, and we now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. Here's where freedom prayer is. It begins right here. God exposing himself to us. It's about him. The reason people get healed is the same reason my life changed that day. You see, what happened, I ran into, and it says that in the manual, it talks about our journey and how I ran into Ed Smith and Theophostic prayer and all of that. But the truth is, Theophostic prayer, sozo, a thousand different names or whatever you want to call it, we call it the gospel. When you have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, you're changed. And what we found out, no matter what is going on in my life or your life, if I can get you together face to face with Jesus, you get changed. And it's about you and Jesus. It's what John was writing about. He said, guys, I want you to introduce you into the guy that I met who changed me. And if you meet him, you'll have joy. And that's the whole purpose and destiny of freedom prayer. The first thing, what is freedom prayer? First thing is this, you have to believe that God is good, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And you've got to believe that every little boy and every little girl that's ever been born on this earth was created in God's image, and they're good. God loves them. God created them good in his image. Now what happens is we get bondage. We get in bondage sometimes. Well, you know how you get out of bondage? Through the blood of his son, through a relationship, intimacy with God. And in freedom prayer, what we found out is you can intentionally take somebody, anybody, and take them and lead them into a presence and an encounter with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of ways to do it. We're going to go over a bunch of ways in the next few hours. And the thing is, there's a key to this whole thing. The first thing is this, God is the leading. He's leading. Do you know what happens to you and me and our friends when God has already worked in them when they come to you for help? He's already leading them. I believe that. Whenever, if you sit down with me in a room with a total stranger, I believe 100% that whatever's going on in their life is orchestrated by God to bring them into an encounter with his son. You mean they're anxiety disorder was orchestrated by God to bring them in encounter with Jesus? Yes. Their depression? Yes. Their anger? Yes. Their sadness? Their grief? Yes. I was last year, I think it was about a year ago, I'm praying with somebody, and I'm working with some therapists. I pray with a lot of therapists, which is funny, because I'm not a therapist. I'm not licensed. I'm just me. But I'm praying with some people, and I'm praying with this lady, and she has anxiety disorder thing going on, antisocial, blah, 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 all this other stuff. Well, what do I know? I know that whatever's going on in her life, God has already set it up. Now, what I know about her right now, literally, is she's a full-blown alcoholic, she's a full-blown addicted to prescription drugs, and she's suffering such severe anxiety that it forces her to do crazy things. And she's like my age, you know, middle-aged, like younger middle-aged person in her early 50s, sort of, still, mid-50s maybe. But she's like my age. And I'm talking to her, and she has such severe anxiety. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and she lives in a neighborhood, and she's taking a shower. Well, that's one of the things that gets to her sometimes, is being in the shower for some reason. And all of a sudden, that anxiety hits her. She gets so overwhelmed that she starts screaming. She's the only one home. She starts screaming. She can't stop herself, and she runs out of the bathroom, through the hallway, through the living room, out the front door, and is standing in the middle of her front yard screaming, totally naked, wet. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty severe anxiety going on. And you mean God let that happen? I don't want to even go there. I just want to say this. Because of the things that was going on there, I was able to sit down with her, and within about 3 sessions, she was free of alcohol, free of prescription drugs, free of anxiety disorder. And what did you do, Alan? Did you do that? Matter of fact, she would name things I did, which is so funny to me because she was trained. She would name all of the techniques I was using. I said, I'm not using any techniques. God is leading me through you. God loves you. And I have one goal. My only goal for you is to get you face to face with Jesus. And if I do that, you will get healed. And she did, and she's still healed. And she called her, it's so funny, she was very, very smart. She had funny ways of talking. She called her psychiatrist her chemist. And I thought that was funny. I was like, yeah, that's really true. He is your chemist. So here's what Freedom Prayer is. Here's what it is. We believe God's leading you. So I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit in you. Now, we also believe God is going to lead me. So I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit in me. My whole goal is that for you to have an encounter with Jesus before I ever see you. When we're together, we're having an encounter with Jesus. And my end goal is that you have an encounter with Jesus. And if that happens, they get healed. Every time. Every time. It's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. I've done it for 15 years, and I just stand back and I watch. I'm like, God, you're unbelievable. The other day I'm like, God, I just can't believe you. I was praying with somebody, and they had such severe pain inside from sexual abuse, from alcoholism and drugs and physical abuse and ruined marriage after ruined marriage and just 30 years of unbelievable tragedy. And I'm sitting down talking to this person. I'm thinking, this is going to take a while. But what am I going to do? I already believe God's leading them. I'm going to follow what God's doing in them. And we're going to follow God together. And I'm going to bring them face to face with Jesus. We did that. And after 2 sessions, they were totally healed. I so much doubted it that I made them come back for another session. And I poked them everywhere I could find a poke. And I couldn't find any depression, any anger, any addiction anymore. And they were happy. I'm like, man, I am good. No, I was so doubtful, right? Because my history is somebody that has that damage takes a long time. It may take 6 or 7 sessions with them. For this person, it only took 2, and they were healed. And I told them, I said, I'm sorry for poking you so much. We're done. You're good. And they said, thank you, I'm happy. I said, amen, you are happy. You love Jesus, he loves you, we're good. And they don't need alcohol anymore or drugs or anything like that. So the end goal is to follow the Holy Spirit and for the person you're praying with to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. The very core of freedom prayer is this, an encounter with God. You know, I love this verse. In reply, Jesus was talking to this young ruler guy in John 3, and Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Now, Nicodemus had a hard time with that, didn't he? How can a man be born again when he's old? He can't surely enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." You know, in my upbringing, that verse was only talking about salvation. But what I learned was it happens over and over and over and over to us. Because this is the way God said it. Unless his seed gets planted in you. You see, here's what happens. And I'm not going to go into the theology of this. If you want to have hours of discussion, we will. Here's the foundation of what we found out about freedom prayer. In the beginning, when we did it, when we were doing Theophostic with Ed Smith, you're living, right? This is in your manual. You'll see this. This is representing just living. We're all living. We're born in this world, and we walk it out. Well, in the beginning with freedom prayer, can you see Audrey? I should have had you draw this, Audrey. It would have been much better. In the beginning with freedom prayer, some traumatic event happens. You're left alone. You're physically or sexually abused. You have a parent who screams at you and tells you you're an idiot all the time. You have bad eyes. I don't know, you're short or you're tall, or somebody's mean to you. Some traumatic event happens. And in the beginning of freedom prayer, when that traumatic event happens, we call them lies. All of a sudden, matter of fact, this person I was praying with the other day, the one that got healed that I thought would take a long time that didn't, they had had a sexual abuse thing happen. And of course, they felt like they were dressed inappropriately, that it was their fault, and they felt dirty and guilty for years, for decades. So what happened? A traumatic event. There was an abuse. Now, when that abuse happened, something happened inside of them. They believed a lie. And we all know, if you're raped, male or female, that doesn't mean you're bad, right? It doesn't mean you're dirty. But if that thing gets planted in your heart and you believe that it's true, that lie gets planted, and what happens is the enemy plants a seed in your heart because of that traumatic event. Now, when that happens, that seed is just a little bitty seed. It doesn't really affect much, but every seed grows. In John, the book of John, if you read it in the Greek, you find out that the word seed there is the word sperma. And it's literally talking about an organic union between us and the Lord or between us and the enemy. And if this seed gets planted when you're young, it'll grow and it'll grow and it'll grow. And the Bible says it produces bad fruit. It produces bondage. It produces physical issues. It'll produce emotional issues. It'll produce relational issues. It'll produce spiritual issues. It's bad. It always hurts. Now, you don't have any control over that. Once that seed gets planted, it's planted. Now, the purpose of God is for us to see this when it bears fruit. And when we see where it bears fruit, what we do in freedom prayer is we don't condemn people because of the fruit they're having. They can't control that. It's the exact opposite of most counseling and most therapy and most Christianity. You see, the truth of the gospel is this. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, you get to choose who's your master. You get to choose who plants seeds inside of you. Now, the truth is, you can still choose to rule your own life and do it your way, even as a Christian. And so, even as a Christian, you can have bad seed growing. And the bad seed will always produce bad fruit. But the bad fruit is just pointing back to this. Now, for a long time, we thought that only happened with trauma. And so we'd take, and we put a lot of stories in the deal. We have 1,000 stories. I don't know how many. I can't even remember. 10,000 stories. Some of my favorite stories are in the deal. I love the time when the little girl was getting raped over and over and over again by her own dad. They would go out to the special camper in the backyard, right? Good Christian people. And when I met her, she was a mess, a depressed, anxiety-filled mess. And we walked through this thing. And, you know, you have the stuff you have. I've got all my emotions involved, too, and we're praying. Now, my goal is one thing. I know God's leading this girl. Her bad fruit is deadly. By this time I met her, she was already way beyond anything, right? The bad stuff. When I met her out here, now I know there's a reason for this fruit, and there's a place where the enemy planted something in her heart that was a lie. And all I did was follow the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit brings us to this point. And once you get to that point, we're going to go through all this. And once you get to that point, you know what you do? You get out of the way and let Jesus do it. Now, we don't do guided imagery here. A lot of good Christian people do that, and that's fine. What I found is Jesus comes to everyone differently. So if I tell you to look for Jesus in the room, but he doesn't speak to you that way, then I've just hindered you from hearing the Lord. You know, because he'll show up how he wants to. And this is one of the fun ones. This is one of my most meaningful ones I remember. I'm praying with this young lady, and we work through it, and we finally get here. And after this horrible thing would happen with her father, he would always go back in the house, and she would climb a tree in her backyard and sit up in the tree and try to find some kind of help, you know. Well, I'm praying with her. I've asked God to walk her back through that memory. She's sitting in the tree. She's crying. And I did this really unmagical thing, but supernatural thing, which every counselor should do. I said, Jesus, would you come? Because I can't help her. I can tell her she's not dirty for the rest of her life, and she won't believe me. I can tell her it's not her fault forever, and it won't help. I can give her, I can't, she already has all the drugs and stuff. It didn't help. But I know that if she'll have an encounter with Jesus, and I helped bring her to the place where she could, and I just asked Jesus to come, then I stand back. And guess what Jesus did with her? Amazing. I mean, to me, it was amazing. Jesus Christ climbed a tree and sat on the limb beside her. Didn't say a word. I don't remember if he even put his arm around her or anything. I don't even know what he looked like. I've never asked anybody when they see him. But I know this, she was healed. Done, healed, done. Got off all the drugs, got off, quit drinking, quit living the bondage lifestyle she was in. Every one of these went away in her life through a 30-second encounter with the God of the universe. That's what freedom prayer is. And what we want to help you guys do the next tonight and tomorrow is give you all the tools you need and paint a picture for you that you can take anyone, no matter what this is. This could be, name an addiction. It doesn't matter what this is. You can take this person and you can bring them to an encounter with Jesus. And when they have an encounter with Jesus, he plants a seed in them and it produces good fruit. We call that grace. Like, I don't know, any of you guys here take credit? I'm assuming you're all Christians, I don't know. But any of you guys take credit for any of the good things that God does in your life? Do you take credit for the joy and the peace and the love and the power of God working through you? Do you take credit for that? No, it's grace. It's God's life coming through his children. Well, you know what this stuff is? It's the opposite of grace, but it's the same thing. It's Satan's death coming through his children. 1 John chapter 3. By this you know who the children of God are and who the children of Satan are. Listen, life and death, it comes from this. Now, what we learned through the years, for a long time we couldn't help some people, and then we realized we were putting ourselves in this box. What we found out was trauma, whenever I make a choice to do things independent of God or on my own, or I think I'm in control, every time I do that, Satan plants a seed in me. And it'll produce the same fruit that trauma will. And it took years for us to realize that. You see, because we were created to have a relationship with our Father and to walk in step with Him and have a love and to depend upon Him and love Him. Well, any time that Adam and Eve, you know what they did? They chose to do something good their own way. And you know what Satan did? He planted death in them. But you know, it wasn't instant death. God didn't kill them. Satan planted a seed in them, and that seed would grow. And you and I today live that same life all the time. So this is really the foundation of all of Freedom Prayer. It's right here. We have people that are living. And a lot of times, by the time they come to you for help or they come to church for help, the bad fruit is way out here. It doesn't matter. The reason that fruit is coming from somewhere where God wants to bring them into union with Him. Now, this is really the biblical term for sin. It's missing the mark, going my own way. Bad fruit, that can be an addiction, that can be a disorder, that can be anger. I love praying for people that have anger issues. It's just bad fruit. It can be a demonic manifestations. It doesn't matter. Bad fruit always reveals there's somewhere where Jesus Christ is wanting to have an encounter with people. And He's wonderful. He's the best thing ever. I remember years ago when God first started showing us this deal, and when it took a lot for God to get me out of looking for trauma, because it's so prevalent in our society. And then I began to see, wait a second, it's not always trauma. I had a man, probably the most capable person I've ever been around. He was a Top Gun Navy jet fighter pilot. He was a Navy jet fighter trainer. When he got out of the Navy, he opened a business and became a millionaire. Unbelievable. His family, he'd raised him in church his whole life. He had boys, one at one academy, military academy, another one at another academy. He had the same wife for 30-something years, the best guy in his church. His pastor calls me. He's from another state. His pastor calls me because he knows about Freedom Prayer. He said, listen, we can't help this man, and he's becoming so disabled emotionally, he can't get out of his house. His body's falling apart, and we can't help him. We don't know what to do. Nobody can help him. And I said, well, send him here. We'll give it a shot. Because all I'm going to do is I already believe God's leading. So we've already got to first base already. And I believe when he gets here that God's going to be in him and God's going to be in me. And I'm going to follow God and bring him to an encounter with God. And when he has an encounter with God, he's healed. It's not hard. That's all it was. So he shows up. And when I met him, my self-condemnation thing sort of started kicking in. I'm thinking, this dude is way smarter than me, a way better Christian than I am, has more money than I've ever even dreamed of having. He was driving a brand new full-size Lexus thing. I don't know what those are, but it's nice. And I'm like, dude. And he looked like he was like 40 years old, but he was over 60. He's like 65 or something. He's in that kind of physical condition. He comes in, we're talking, and I'm like, he's never sinned. He was raised in a Christian home. He never had sex. He never drank. His worst sin, when he got out of the Navy, he flew his fighter airplane too low all up and down these rivers, taking it across country somewhere. I don't know, whatever they do. Those guys are like adrenaline junkies. But I'm like, you don't have any, there's nothing in you. But he's dying inside. His wife wants a divorce and his children can't stand him. And he's got a $300,000+ job a year waiting for him to come to work, and he can't leave his house because he's so severely depressed and full of anxiety. He's got problems. Well, you know, we prayed, and we followed, and I'm like, God, I'm going to follow you, Holy Spirit. I don't have a clue. There's no trauma. He was never abused. He was never nothing. This is before I knew that trauma is not the issue. So we finally get to this deal. Guess, you know what happened to him? Funny story for me. Then we're going to take a break. Here's what happened to this guy, because this is all it is. When I'm out of step with God, when I choose to do it my way, the enemy plants a seed, and it has a single cell. And over enough time, that seed will grow. And a very good person can be in total bondage to the enemy, physically or emotionally or relationally. All those areas. Well, I know that's true. So I'm just saying, Lord, lead us. Finally, God led us to this place. The kid's like 5 or 6 years old. He's a genius when he's born, right? His parents lived up north. They were in some kind of like Presbyterian church or something. And every Easter, his church did this really cool thing. They took the Easter seals cards like they still have today, and they give them to the kids, and the kids got to fill them out with quarters, and they bring them on Easter morning, and they turn it in to their teacher that goes to missions, and the kid gets an award in front of the church. Big deal for a 5-year-old. Well, the first year, his class does this. He gets it filled out. He gets the award. Everybody's happy. He's good. The second year, he's not even in school yet. He's something like 5 or 6 still. He forgets. And Easter morning, he's putting on his little suit. You know, he's those kind of this nice little suit thing. And he said, and God led him here, right? It wasn't amnesiac. It wasn't anything. He remembered this. God led cooking this memory. He went to get his card, and he had forgotten to get the thing filled with quarters. So he's smart. He went out in the garage and got a bunch of washers and filled it in with washers. He doesn't know. Looks same to him. He takes it to Sunday school. Y'all can imagine. His teacher's like, calls his mom. She comes to the classroom. They're like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And he makes this wonderful decision that we would all want our children to make. He makes a decision right then and there that he will always do his best from then on. When he said that, the Holy Spirit in me went bing, 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 bing. He'll always do his best for God. And we just followed that. And you know what? He was so good physically and intellectually and in every other way. He was the top of everything he ever did. Even in church, he was their best giver, their best church member, led Bible studies. Why was his life, why was he having so much bad fruit? He did it. God didn't say that. Just like God didn't tell that little girl that it was her fault and that she was dirty because she got raped. God didn't say that. God never told him to always do his best. You know what God tells every single one of us? Obey me. Sometimes, I mean, you might have a problem with that, but I'm telling you, that's what God said. That's what Jesus said. I said, Jesus, how do you live? Jesus, you're so wonderful. Oh, wonderful. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. That's it. Don't you obey the law? Don't you do this? Don't you do... let me tell you guys again. I obey my dad. But Jesus, wouldn't it be better to do your best? You know what? The Holy Spirit led this man there, and the Holy Spirit convicted him because I don't do that. Follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told him. And you know what he did? He repented. And guess what happened? Instant freedom. He's still married. I looked him up today. I don't know why, I just did. He's still married. He's still a leader in his church. He's back at work, experiencing the good fruit that really was in his life. And every other area of his life, there was nothing but good. But that one thing was killing him. And that's how easy it is. So today and tonight, as we go on, you've got to make a decision. God, you really do are good. God doesn't want any of us to suffer with any of those emotional disorders or anybody that you know. God needs people who can learn and are willing to follow Him. And if you'll become one of those people, you'll get to tell 1,000 stories about when you helped someone get face-to-face with Jesus and then you stood back and Jesus transformed their lives. You see, God is good. God's good. And He came to set the captives free. And that's what Freedom Prayer is all about. And we want you guys to be equipped to do this. We're going to do some demos later on. We're going to take a short break.